Let her rip.
Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus podcast, where we delve into the news and entertainment of the week from the bowels of the man cave, Tim. I'm your host, Ben Baker. Tim Holden is here as well, across the makeshift desk with more wit and wisdom than you can shake a stick at. And Detective Joel Mace, the full-time, part-time, fact-checking son of a gun, settled into the pleather couch over there, just warming up the fingertips on this cold day.
Feeling like Bob Cratchit. Could I have one more lump of coal?
Right. Just so he can slap us down and set us straight, right? What was it? What was that show? Just the Facts, ma'am.
Was it Dragnet?
Yeah, Dragnet. Sergeant Joe Friday.
That might have been before my time.
Just the Facts, ma'am. That's what Joel hangs on us every week. So much to talk about. We kicked off the week with the governor's ball up in the Missouri Capitol. Did you guys have fun?
Yeah, that was neat.
All kinds of stuff. Lots of people. Lots more food than...
More salsa than I've ever seen. I'm still eating on that.
Literally a five-gallon bucket full.
I was going to ask if the salsa survived.
A lot of it did. I tried to give it to everybody I could possibly.
I took home a gallon and a half.
Yeah. I didn't even scratch the surface.
No.
Queso. Mm. We've been eating on queso for days. I don't know what happened with the Mexican restaurant, but there was definitely some miscommunications.
Overages.
Yes.
They thought they were feeding everyone.
Yes. And probably could have.
You could have fed 5,000 because I think at least two ate and less was eaten than what was left.
It was so much food. But yeah, we got that all kicked off and all kinds of things. So before we get into the inauguration stuff, which we got to talk about, which is almost here, by the way. By the time we air, it's going to be the day, the 20th, Tim. It's the day we've been looking for a long time. But so I guess they had a crypto ball in D.C. This was when? This was Friday night?
I think it was Friday night.
So Friday night, because Snoop Dogg was the one of the performers at it, right? But I guess during that, unbeknownst to any of us, Trump launches a meme coin, and it goes nuts.
The meme coin to rule them all.
So tell us, Tim, what has happened with the meme coin so far? I wake up Saturday morning to this thing already at like $8, I think, at the point first saw it at.
Would have been a real good time to not just look. I know.
But it started at like 18 cents, I think.
Yeah.
What it launched as. Yeah.
I know at one point it was had a $72 billion market cap. Now, only 200 million. So there's a billion available. Trump owns 80% of it. So he has about 80 billion. I think it's 79,999,999,000 that he has. So Joel can check me on that.
He didn't even, his fingers didn't even budge.
So
he said, forget that.
Anyways, but so out of the, because they usually release those meme coins in 99.999999 billion. So you're a meme coin shy of 100 billion. He released 200 billion. And the price of that is, so the free float, which is what's actually out able to be bought, is based off 200 billion times the price. Or is it? No. Yeah, I believe so. Anyways, at one point, Trump's net worth went from whatever he was sitting at. I'm wanting to say that he was he usually says 4 billion. The mainstream media says that he has $2 billion.
Mm-hmm. Always cut him short.
Unless it's time to pay taxes on it.
He hates that.
If it's time to pay taxes right. on it, you know, he's definitely
then
not
he's
paying.
Eight,
yes,
he's eight
he has
billion.
8 to 20.
Right.
Whatever it was, his net worth went up $72 billion at one point had he dumped, which I don't think he'll, if he's any kind of smart, he won't
so basically,
sell a single coin.
Like all the money he's made in his entire life.
Yeah, he's
made more than that in 24
his
hours.
Lifetime earnings paled in comparison to he was in the top 25 richest people in the world according to the live Forbes at one point with the coin. Now I think right now he's at like 52 billion as of airing is his portion, and I think the free float is like $11 billion, which is more or less. There's been $11 billion flow into that coin, if I'm not mistaken. So
that's
pretty
insane.
Wild. And you were telling me that they're dropping the Melania coin.
I just saw
which
this.
Which I
like,
feel like we should probably be figuring out how to buy that right now instead of
look it up.
Having
see
this
it,
podcast.
See if you,
but
see if you can buy some.
Because we could go full-time podcasting if we...
We could. If we could just make a fraction.
Yeah.
We could put in $100 probably
yeah,
and
have some
float the podcast
money for a lobbying firm
while.
Or something. I don't know. Like things would change. So anyways, yeah.
I
that
couldn't
was
find where to buy
insane.
It because none of the apps that I have for where you can buy crypto had it on there. I do have Coinbase, but it's not on Coinbase yet, but they're saying it's supposed to be coming. But it's like it's a little late for getting on the wagon quick, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a point where you can't get the FOMO because your $70, if you bought it at the high, you'd already, you know,
yeah.
be feeling a little squeamish about it.
For sure.
So the time to buy was definitely not today, I don't think.
No, I
who
don't
knows?
Think so.
I've been wrong many a times, much like Blink charging.
What's it up to right now? $70? $77?
No, it was at 52, so but it hit well over 70.
So it's come back down.
Yeah, I mean, there's huge fluctuations. I don't know about stabilized. I mean, it was the
kind of like the hawk to a.
Well, if Trump had dumped his $800 billion, I believe, I think that's with a B.
There's no way, Tim. That's almost $1 trillion.
Or no, sorry. Man, I was way Joel. This is why you got to keep
million?
Those fingers. So 800. Is it a billion coins or 100 billion? Guys, this is not the day.
I can only Google so fast.
So, I thought it was an absurd. I thought it was 100 billion was the typical meme coin, and I thought that's what I was reading earlier. I could actually look at it on Coinbase, but it's who doesn't sell it yet, but plans to. So when it hits the major markets, I could see it taking another leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the people who didn't want to go chase it down will be like, oh, I wouldn't mind having one of them.
Right.
And
at least one. I mean, I'm going to buy one at least.
They wrote some articles that, so that $14.2 billion, I believe, is the value of the floating free coins that are actually available. Joel's got the article up here. And then, so that's 20% of the value, which Trump owns the other 80.
Okay.
And so that's where you get to that roughly 100 billion. And it was down a little bit earlier from probably after this was written. But still, yeah, some 200 million of the digital tokens have been issued. So it is a billion.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump has 800 million.
Okay.
And there's 200 million.
I
see. Yeah, I was getting into the trillions, 10 trillions.
Wow.
That's why we don't throw out numbers.
Yep. Well,
so
he is definitely going to be the blockchain crypto president.
What's Melania at? It's up 7,000%.
Melania is?
Yeah, since it's launched. Oh, no, that's the...
I don't even know. All I saw was one tweet on
So it had
X.
a 36% drop in value midday on Sunday, which is so common. Like, that's a...
Trump did?
The Trump coin did. That's why it was down to 11 earlier when I looked at it.
So the inauguration's almost here. DC is gearing up for this, and it's going to be a huge event.
Huge.
Saw the Bidens moving out their stuff out of the White House. Mm. Thank goodness. America couldn't be happier.
Did you see the defense secretary, I believe, his farewell speech?
Lloyd Austin.
Did you see that, Joel?
Maybe.
It was disconcerting. I would be having the inauguration. I'd tell him where it was. I'd send my hologram.
That guy?
And I would have it. No.
Well,
it was someone
you're thinking
else.
Of Tony Blinken.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's been multiple changes in the plans leading up to the inauguration. Yeah. First, it's going to be outside like it is usually, right? They already had chairs set up. They had the platform built, all this stuff. Well, then the plans changed, and they are going to move it inside the Capitol, to where it will take place in the Capitol Rotunda. Well, then there was even talk of that changing where he would actually take the oath of office and it would happen in the Oval Office in the White House. Now, I tried to find out if that was correct. I couldn't find any legitimate information as to, you know, to really confirm that. Everything I found was it's still on for the Capitol, but they did say that only Congress, members of Congress and senators would be able to attend. As far as I know, that's still the current plan, but multiple changes to this. And, you know, they cited the weather saying it's cold, but it's not any colder. There's been much colder inaugurations than this one would have been, like under 20 degrees or whatever. So I don't think it's the weather. I really do think there are credible threats to the president and credible threats to like a mass casualty event is what it seems like to me. It's the only thing that makes sense to me.
I would have that inauguration in Iron Mountain.
Yeah.
In Denver.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Like he's already had several attempts on his life.
I would have that bad boy like a shotgun wedding. Just you and the bride.
Yeah, right.
And the JP.
Like, if you see, I've got a video here of the motorcade that seems very different for security reasons and very unusual. I'll play this and look at these SUVs with what they're saying is anti-drone technology. I've never seen this before, actually, on the SUVs of a motorcade, but watch this. Look at these SUVs. They've got these antennas. Have you ever seen this, Joel?
I never have.
But probably half of the SUVs in this motorcade have these antennas on top that multiple people online were saying is anti-drone technology, like jammers.
Yeah. Did it? You know if they have Scud missile turrets on top.
Right. They're pulling up
to serious.
The Trump Force One. So I'll leave that there. So it seems like to me there is security reasons as to why all the changes with this, which would make sense. Like if you keep changing the plans, it's difficult if there is somebody with a plan to try to do something to act accordingly. But the other part of that is like, I don't trust the people that are still currently in the military in some of those positions, right? No. Like Trump's going to clean house. I think Pete Hegseth is going to clean house when he gets in, but he's not in yet.
I feel like it's irresponsible to have that, to have an inauguration.
I think it is too.
To be like, hey, okay, I swear. Just play the video from last time.
Now, as I understand it though, the Secret Service appointment was one of the guys that was on the detail at Butler, right? Mm. That Trump is going to make the director of the Secret Service. And he is actually the one that is orchestrating these changes, which to me, again, I don't know. I mean, I guess there is trust there if Trump has appointed him, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't like any of it. I just, I need the next week to go off.
Yeah. Well, and I know it's frustrating for people who have really planned to travel to D.C. to be there for the inauguration to see this take place. But, I mean, obviously Trump's safety is far more important than people getting to see this in person. But it's also interesting to me the similarities between this and Reagan's inauguration. Have you looked at that, like some of the similarities? Because Reagan's was inside. Did you know that? I never realized that, but President Reagan's inauguration was inside the Capitol, and moved, I guess, due to cold weather. This was 1985, but this is Kayleigh McEnany talking about this.
This has happened twice from what I've researched, 1909 with Howard Taft and then 1985 with Ronald Reagan. And what's interesting to me is the Ronald Reagan comparison, because not only is the inauguration indoors, you have the hostage release, really right before Trump comes in. You had the assassination attempt, Ronald
today.
Reagan as well. Trump is kind of a Reagan-esque president in more ways than
so. That's the other thing. Like, we've been talking about how he's already governing before he's even into office, negotiating. I mean, obviously with Hamas and the hostages there being released today, I believe. And then Joe Biden trying to take credit for it. Did you see this? Well, then they interviewed Biden's his own people, and they're like, no, this was Trump negotiating. This was not Biden. But I thought that was interesting with the similarities between Reagan's swearing in and inauguration and Donald Trump's.
What's a FDV?
What's that?
FDV.
FDV? Where did you see that?
Fidelity High Dividend.
Does that have to do with the crypto stuff?
Well, it's a Polymarket Joel had pulled up. And it asked if Trump's FDV on at noon on Inauguration Day.
I think it's just unbelievable the things that he's able to turn a profit on. You know, no other president in the history of this country, Tim, has had the kind of business savvy when it comes to merchandise and things like that as President Trump. I mean, the gold tennis shoes, right? The coins, the merch, like the trading cards, the Trumpy bears. Like, there's no end to the things that he has been able to turn into a profit.
Well, it's insane. I got into the weeds on, because Trumpy Bear, speaking of which, reminded me of this, but there's like 50 meme coins that people have made using Trump's name. And they all had little spikes. And I mean, it adds up. They've made millions of dollars off of just making meme coins with Trump's name or likeness.
Oh, I see. Already.
Fist. Yeah.
Even though it wasn't officially.
For the past few months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think they saw some blood in the water on an opportunity. But they're trying to decide if Trump's going to sell his $800 million on Inauguration Day. That's what that Polymarket odds is.
Oh. What was the odds?
I didn't even catch it. I was too busy trying to figure out. Fully diluted value would be him diluting it.
Oh, okay.
Pulling
it all.
Just hot-toing it all into the market, so to speak.
So, of course, there are protesters in D.C. from the left, Tim, in their pink hats and whatnot. So, here's a little bit of that. Here's a little bit of that. They're defacing property and, you know, all the things in D.C. right now.
Mostly peaceful protests.
All right, guys, we are inside the People's March. People say there's about 50,000 people here, and they are all here to fight against Donald Trump, to stand back. You can see the speakers over there. There's people dressed up. We have someone in masks over there.
Only 50,000?
Like Halloween
that
masks.
Seems like a small crowd.
We have so many people out here, and it's not even supposed to begin until 1 o'clock. Some of them are angry, vile. Other ones are just old people. But, yeah, I'm going to keep you guys updated. Make sure you guys follow me on X, at Diddle TV.
Angry, vile, others just old.
Just old people. Just out there in their
Since
pink hats.
Old people are not just jumping
on board.
Of being angry.
No,
vile,
what it was is they got a gift card in the mail from George Soros. They got a $100 Amazon gift card and said, if you'll go out there and stand in your pink hats for an hour.
Babe, we're going on a bus tour of D.C. free.
Right.
Paid for hotels.
Oh,
they were
man.
Just confused.
Right. But
they felt wearing the pink hat was kind of like the going to the timeshare meeting.
Right.
You wear this pink hat and stand in the cold. We're going to give you free bus fare.
And a voucher.
And a voucher for a free meal in the cafeteria.
At some restaurant. Yeah.
The D.C. no cafeteria. Knows about. Have you ever eaten at the D.C. at the cafeteria in the Capitol?
No, I have not.
Underwhelming.
I've seen it, but I have not eaten there.
It's no Luby's.
It's no Luby's Diner.
Right.
Let me just tell you.
Well, this guy here, Tim, I found on X, he thinks that Trump is going to be denied at the inauguration and will be arrested.
See, I'm with this guy. Like, this is my deepest fears being spoken out loud. Right. I wasn't going to say it, but here we go.
Well, it just cracks me up because, you know, you had people saying this in the other direction when Biden was getting inaugurated, right? Like, no, just hold on. It's all going down. Trump's going to be president.
I was never under
Biden's going to be arrested. Yeah. You know, it just cracks me up. But listen to what this guy has to say.
He is not going to be sworn in, and he will not be our next president. How I know that for certain comes from the knowledge of some information I found out last night that I didn't know. You know, we all know that when Biden was sworn in, the one person not present at his inauguration was who? Donald Trump. He lacked the character to be there, to share in another man's joy, to have the character to say, you know, I didn't win the election, you did. But here's a guy that's been given everything on a silver platter his whole life. He was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. And
what?
He couldn't be at Joe Biden's inauguration. So what I found out last night
was no Democrats are showing up.
You know, I'm thinking, when is Donald Trump going to be arrested? And now I know that he's going to be arrested at his inauguration. Because there's going to be
of a ayahuasca
three people
I had
not present
night.
There. They are Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, and their wives will not be present at Donald Trump's inauguration on Monday. They will not be there. Not just because they know that they don't want to be near him or around him, but because
wasn't
it's a security risk
for Trump. Not to
it's
come
a security
to
risk
Biden's,
that but they don't want our presidents to be subject to. The inauguration, the steps that have been taken, 30 miles of high quality, well-built fencing. This is very difficult to negotiate. It's not easy to get over. 30 miles of that, cement blocks, and 25,000 law enforcement officers. Those things are in place to quell a second insurrection.
Right.
Because the powers that be know
except
that
this
the Proud Boys and Girls there that are invited into Washington, D.C. this Sunday to celebrate Donald Trump's victory. That's why he invited
them. It's fine. No more of that.
Man.
He's a lunatic.
Yeah. So his idea is just because Obama and Bush are not going to be there, then that signals Trump's going to be arrested. They just don't want to be there.
Hey, pretty much word for word, everything that ChatGPT wrote me for
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones would say, he's come out and said,
right,
this is deep state.
Yeah, well,
goes through it, marches through it. But
yeah, so talking about this, like, did you know, I didn't realize this until I started digging around, but did you know there were actually two individuals who planned to take out Trump during Jimmy Carter's
funeral
services?
They didn't share that with us.
No, I know. You didn't see this anywhere.
No.
In the media. But yes, apparently two guys, one armed with a knife and a machete, and the other who set their car on fire in the parking garage beneath the Capitol in D.C. And I didn't hear anything about this. Listen to what they're saying here. This is, I believe, D.C. police that's talking about this.
The biggest threat, I think, for all of us remains the lone actor. Just in the past week, while President Carter was lying in state, we had two lone actors show up at the Capitol. One trying to bring in knives and a machete, another one who was trying to, what I believe, to disrupt the proceedings by setting their car on fire down in the Peace Circle area. U.S. Capitol Police were able to interdict these folks before maybe they had a Capitol chance Police. To do any harm.
Probably not D.C.
But that threat of the lone actor remains.
They're busy breaking up street.
So the D.C. Police and several others are saying they're not going to assist at all for the inauguration.
Yeah, that guy's the U.S. Capitol Police chief.
Okay.
What was that guy's name, Joel, that you found for me? Not the Secretary of Defense,
Anthony Blinken?
Yes.
Secretary of State.
Okay. Was it? No, this guy had some position. Maybe he did the briefings for the Secretary of Defense. More or less, he was stepping down saying, you know, won't be seeing you again unless, and then goes into a very detailed description of why he might be seeing him again. It was
did you see all those people cheering those guys when they were walking out of their offices for the first time? I think every single one of them should be fired. If they're on the video cheering those people when they're leaving office, yelling, Blinken, all these people, I think they should be axed. If I were, you know, in the Trump administration looking at who to let go and who to hire, I would start with those videos. If you're cheering these people, you need to go. So another big thing this week was the TikTok ban. So I don't know if you saw this, but the Supreme Court upheld the TikTok ban from Congress, and it was set to basically go dark by today, which is Sunday, if TikTok didn't divest and sell the company, right? So this is crazy because it's all playing out online. You see these TikTokers all losing their minds, you know, because their app's going away.
There's a lot of just consumers that are really upset.
Yeah.
Consumers I've been that are just...
I never agreed with it. I think
know what they're
the
gonna do.
Unintended consequences of it are far worse than trying to fix the problem that they think they're going to fix, because obviously they're just going to come up with new apps, and they already have. People now are going over to this Red Note, right, that's Chinese, and it's way
Chinese.
Worse. It's way worse. And it's funny because these people are finding out that they don't allow people who are LGBTQ or gay or whatever to be on the app, and they're kicking them off because of it. Just crazy stuff.
Shocking.
So it was set to go dark, but now Trump has hinted, that he's going to extend the deadline to give him more time to negotiate. And now it's actually back up, I believe. TikTok is back up in the U.S. already. So it wasn't even down a day, basically. It's just crazy how this is going back and forth. And yes, I think TikTok is dangerous to our country. I think it's propaganda. I think all of those things. But anytime you let the government have the power to determine what you can and cannot do when it comes to this, I think it's dangerous. And it will be used against us. I kind of agree with Rand Paul and Thomas Massey when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I filed a bill on the state level to ban TikTok from government devices. I think that's an appropriate use of government when it comes to making sure that we don't get spied on with our government devices. But to ban it just across the board, I think, is dangerous, because it's just going to the consequences of that are going to be far worse than actually fixing the problem.
The craziest part the part that I think that says it all, though, why this is necessary, I think, is that if TikTok had released their, more or less their source, their
source code,
this all would have been avoided. So why would you throw away billions of dollars to not release that if it was not exactly as dangerous as it's being said?
Well, I think it's proprietary information, though, that could be then copied and used,
they could have released
as
it
a competitor,
to a government agency. And, I feel like China, I could see why they'd be concerned.
Yeah.
That, somebody might take their, but exactly. It would be pretty simple to release that to the powers that be. And, you know, I don't feel like that they were in any danger of the government taking their sourcing. But they would have found that it was as bad as they assumed or know it to be.
I don't doubt that because it does. It's tied. And here's the legal opinion. So here's the other side of this. Like, here's a few of the things. TikTok lost almost every single argument in the court case that they tried to make. It was a 9-0 ruling by the Supreme Court, which
that don't happen
sends
a
resounding message. Their data collection practices are insane. I've actually looked at this in great detail because of the bills that I have filed on this. They gather data that other apps normally consider off limits, including the content of the user's private messages, and the full contents of a user's device contacts. So if you have a contact in your phone of someone who doesn't use TikTok, but you do, they get access to your contact information and the information of those people in your contacts, even if they don't use TikTok, you know, which is crazy, which means basically they're spying on everybody.
That's why I refuse to be friends with anyone who has the app.
Right. So the data collection, the other part of this is the last part that concerned SCOTUS, the justices, the most. If you have an email contact, same thing, who has a TikTok account, China has your name, your email, and possibly your phone number, your photos, and everything else, even if you have an email contact that uses TikTok. Also, Chinese law requires its social media companies, including TikTok, and the parent company, which is ByteDance, which owns a bunch of other apps, by the way, like I think Shein and some of those others that are Chinese products are also owned by ByteDance.
Which is owned by the Chinese government.
Yeah, because it requires them, it mandates that they assist or cooperate with the CCP and their intelligence work. So that just ensures that they have the power to access and control and use your data to spy on you if they want to. Congress and the FBI worry that this info could be used for espionage, of course, or to compile blackmail dossiers or whatever on elected officials or government employees. All of that's dangerous. And, you know, again, there's a lot of reasons why I think it's a serious problem. To me, you still have to look at, you know, what you're trying to fix and what will be a result of the decisions you make from just banning an app, which it doesn't really name. That's the other issue. It doesn't just name TikTok in this law. So again, they can use this for other social media companies, I think, to censor. On social media, to censor in other media apps and things like that. And I think that's exactly what will happen.
Could they, and this is just me thinking. So, you know how we file patents? For the most part, they're worthless. But when you file that patent, it locks down your idea. Like, why could we not have a source code filing system?
Mm-hmm.
That if you wanted to do business in the
U.S. With blockchain technology?
Yeah. If you want to do business in the U.S. with an app, with any software, you have to file just like you would a patent now. Like, I've filed patents. I don't worry if that's going to be... You're protected by releasing the information. Release that to a, you know, government body and... We know what you're getting, and you're allowed to do business then. I don't think that's unreasonable, and it would fix all this.
Yeah. Agreed. I think there are ways that you can do that, but I think the bottom line is China doesn't want to.
They don't want to, it would open up. I'm just telling you that it would be as pro-American as anything you could do to keep...
It's transparency.
Keep transparency and keep U.S. companies, which hasn't done well thus far, but it's looking brighter as far as to keep, you know, freedom.
There's other people, too, who are saying that this was AIPAC and pro-Israel people who were pushing the sell of TikTok because its content was like so weighted in favor of the pro Hamas and pro Palestine people on TikTok versus anybody who was pro Israel. Have you seen this argument saying that that Israel was really the one pushing for banning this because of the propaganda going on with TikTok? That's one take as well that I've seen people talk about. So that's an interesting perspective, I think, as well. But I think Trump, so did you see the message, like when TikTok comes back online, the message that pops up on people's app, every single person who had TikTok, it pops up and it says, thanks to the efforts of President Trump, TikTok is back up online. That's so...
Maybe so now he gets the credit. I'm going to need a shameless plug if this thing is going to come back live.
I'm almost sure that is the case.
That was negotiated. Right. Part of negotiations.
Yes.
Good. Hey, the art of the deal.
That's right. So we'll see what happens with TikTok in the long run and whether, you know, they come to the table and do their due diligence like they were asked to do. I would think, surely, that with Trump's negotiation, that had to be a part of it. I would think.
You know that extended toilet sitting is very bad for you?
Yes, I've read this.
The lobbyists from Preparation H are actually why TikTok came back.
Right.
That's who you have to think.
Hey, that is definitely job security for Preparation H. So next up. A New York Times poll confirms what we've already talked about many times, where the people in this country are when it comes to the whole trans issue, right? We've talked about this
Is the mainstream catching up to the caucus?
Right. I think they are, actually. This is a New York Times poll, okay? So look at this with the numbers. The question was basically, has society gone too far when it comes to accommodating trans people, okay? So 77%, the GOP was 93%. 77% people said, yes, it's gone too far. The GOP, if you're a Republican, 93% said yes. But Democrats were 62%. 62% of Democrats said, yes, it's gone too far. And so, again, it's one of those issues where we knew all along, like, this is really overplaying your hand. The majority of the people in this country are not with you. You know, and I've said this before, like, in hearings in the state of Missouri, the people of Missouri for sure are not with you when it comes to this issue. Here's another question. Trans women should not be allowed to play in women's sports. 79% across the board said absolutely not. The GOP, 94%. The Democrats, 67% as well in that poll. Here's another question. Minors should not be able to get puberty blockers. Total, 71% said no. Children, minors should not be able to get puberty blockers so that they can have a gender transition. The GOP, 90% said no. The Democrats, still a majority, 54% said no. So again, it's one of these issues that they keep pushing and they still will not realize that it's one of the big reasons why they lost this election and why they continue to lose across the board when it comes to politics right now, because they have pushed this issue so hard. And that's why I think you're seeing a lot of corporate America backing up on this stuff, because they are seeing this. They are seeing these numbers. I mean, they spend billions and billions of dollars marketing to people, and there's no way they can ignore this kind of majority. They can't ignore it and stay in business, right? So the bottom line figures into it. I think the DEI stuff is the same way when it comes to where the country is on this. And so I thought that was interesting to look at. And I mean, a New York Times poll showing the numbers and making the case that we've been making all along. So, yes, they're just now catching up to the Man Cave Caucus. I don't know. What do you think? You think the Democrats are going to figure it out? Or are they going to keep pushing it?
62 is probably up from 30% a year ago.
It's made that much of a jump?
I would imagine. I was just... No, Ben, you...
Tim just threw that out there.
I think if
I don't
more people knew
that.
What puberty blockers were and what they did, then 54% would be much higher.
Yeah. So actually understanding what exactly that means. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know. I did not know, Joel, what puberty blockers were probably 6 years ago. When I started in the legislature, these are things that I never imagined would be top of the top of the issues in this state, for sure, but have become that. And I've learned a lot of those terms since then. But, you know, along the way, it's like I keep trying to get back to appealing to common sense. Like, wait a minute. Do you really know what this is? Do you really know what's happening here with minors? Right. And again, I think that appealing to common sense still works because that's what the Trump campaign did. They went back to common sense and said, is this what you want? Is this what you want your daughters to be subject to? Is this, you know, and they just kept playing to common sense. And I think the people in this country are waking up to it. The people who were, you know, the wool was pulled over, or they were just completely ignorant of what's going on.
I feel like politically, being politically correct on that issue has flipped. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I think the percentage is probably up a lot, from at least 10% from
I would say
as
that's,
more information comes out, I would imagine that.
Well, and that's one of the arguments that I've used so many times. Like, we don't have enough data yet to really show what's going on with this, right?
Think about COVID.
Yeah.
It's turned, right?
I would argue that the majority of the Democrats that a year ago would have voted that way, I think they're posers. I think they always knew that the trans thing is a sham. Does that make
sense?
Yeah,
but it was politically expedient, and it's no longer politically
expedient.
But
really, was it though? Ever?
I think.
I think it was a completely made up thing. Like, it was never really.
You could almost name the area, though, that it was politically expedient.
Yeah. The cities.
To America? No.
The cities?
No.
Do you think that intelligent, college educated people in big cities really think that boys really think are born in the wrong bodies?
Well, the problem with that statement, Joel, is you said college educated.
Yes, Joel. Yes, I do.
I think on the, when you scratch the surface, I think everyone is wise to this all along, and like Tim said, they're doing it for political gain, doing it to
pander. But again, it's like you're pandering to the 1% and leaving out the others, you know, that are overwhelmingly the majority. I'll never understand that. I really won't. I know they're loud. I know they're in your face. I know it's all over. You know, they make it look like it's a huge issue because Hollywood and advertising and corporate America and all these places, they put it out there like this is normal. I mean, watch a commercial nowadays. You don't hardly see, you know, anything but those certain boxes, right? Yeah. That's what they put out there. It makes it look like this is normal America. And there are people who are gullible enough to buy into that. And then when you start playing the victim, those same people are like, oh, I see. You know, like, yeah, we should, you know, give them special rights or whatever the thing is. But the bottom line to me is always goes back to, was it ever really helpful? You know, except for, yeah, I mean, maybe in some of those deep blue areas, San Francisco, California, you know, parts of California, the cities, the places where this stuff is all out in the open, maybe.
Overall,
no.
Kamala's people had all that internal polling, and she still pandered to that 1%.
Yep.
That she knew that was going to be her Achilles heel. She still did it. She couldn't stop herself. Same thing with the majority of America does not approve of Hamas, but she would never call them out, even when they came and disrupted her.
Well, so this goes back to, this is getting way out in the weeds too, and we need to move on. However, this is really good. So the political consulting class,
mm-hmm.
right?
The disconnect.
They are the
of reality.
Ones who say you should do this. You should message to this group. You should say these things. They don't just say it on their own. They don't do that. Mm-mm. You know, unless you're an idiot like me, I just say whatever's, you know, on my heart and what I think. Yeah. What I believe. It's a novel idea. Or knowing my district, what they, you know, what they care about, which is the same things I care about. Thankfully, I don't have to do that stupid game, but they do everywhere. And, you know, the consulting class make unbelievable amounts of money on this stuff too. So, you know, I think there's been a narrative created that really doesn't have any substance to it when it, you know, it comes to actually being helpful when it comes to elections.
Yeah.
Never has been. And I think they're finding that out now. Yeah. But that's the question. Will they see that and change, or will they continue on? I don't know. It seems like they're still pushing for all of this, but
yeah,
it's interesting stuff. So next up this week, Biden, this is the craziest thing I think from this entire week. Biden just keeps, just when you think it's like he can't say anything more ridiculous than that, he does. And this week, he literally tried to speak a constitutional amendment into existence, saying that the Equal Rights Amendment, you know, is just now added to the Constitution because he said so, having nothing to do with the ratification or how many states have to ratify or those people that put that into place, you know. And they're even saying, no, you can't just...
Well, if we can make the eagle the official bird of the United States, we might as well be able to do some other things that have already happened.
It's crazy. So he literally just made the statement that it should be considered a ratified addition to the U.S. Constitution, and then inserting himself, this is an AP article, into a long-running legal battle over gender equality. And, you know, people immediately started pushing back against this because, you know, it's almost like he's just trying to throw out ridiculous things. And I think it's his staff. I don't think it's President Biden. I don't think he has a clue of what's going on. And you saw that this week. Did you see the sit down with Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, and he asked him about this decision that was made in executive order, and Biden's like, "I didn't do that," and he's like, "But it was done." You know, like,
could you imagine who did this then? Across right. the room, going, just right. thumbs
pull the plug,
stringing across their neck.
But it's crazy. This is actually like treasonous because the Equal Rights Amendment failed to be ratified in the 1970s. It's been decades since the amendment's time limit expired on being able to be ratified. Many of the states that ratified it at the time have reversed their ratification as well and would no longer ratify it today. And he's trying to say, oh, well, I think it's good enough, boys. Let's just put it in there. You know, like, that's basically what he's doing. Like, there's, you can't just speak a constitutional amendment into existence. There are actual rules that have to go through maybe to do that.
Maybe they just slid it in the last bill and he thought it was good.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. But again, that falls into this crazy woke stuff that is being pushed, and they want it so bad. They want it so bad. So they're just trying to try anything they possibly can, thinking that people won't notice it, which is not going to happen. But I just thought it was crazy. I was trying to find the actual video of this. Here it is. So here's Biden talking about the Equal Rights Amendment.
Throughout my career, I've been clear. No one should be discriminated against based on their sex. And in order for the amendment to be ratified, it requires 3/4 of the states to ratify it. That benchmark was passed when Virginia ratified the ERA a few years ago. Today, I affirm the Equal Rights Amendment to have cleared all the necessary hurdles to be added to the U.S. Constitution now.
He just said, I affirm that it meets the qualifications to be added to the Constitution now.
We've kind of joked for a while that he's basically Ron Burgundy just reading off the teleprompter.
Yeah.
Say anything that goes, but it's...
Now. He said it's the law of the land now.
It's the 28th Amendment to the Constitution now.
These people are cheering.
I consulted dozens of constitutional scholars to make sure there was all within the power to do this.
And I'm going to use that
the
one.
The fact is, we did. And third...
I'm going to use that one next time Joel fact checks me.
Right? I've consulted dozens of constitutional scholars, and this is within my rights.
Meets all
do
the,
this.
It meets all the qualifications.
Now.
Set your computer now.
Right? How dare you, Joel? How dare you bring out facts? Oh, man. Also this week, outgoing FBI director, thank goodness, Christopher Wray, gives the AG, Merrick Garland, get this, guys. This, if this is not the biggest slap in the face to those of us who are unwavering in our support of the Second Amendment, shall not be infringed, right? And who have fought tooth and nail for this stuff and making sure that the government doesn't take our rights away when it comes to being able to bear arms. Here's what he gives the outgoing Attorney General, Merrick Garland, a Tommy gun, a Thompson 44 mag street sweeper Tommy gun on his way out. Can you imagine this? These are the guys that want to ban guns. They want to ban magazines. They want to ban everything to do with firearms when it comes to the things that we care about, when it comes to the things that we have the right to own and to use. They want to ban these things, and this is the gift that he gives him on his way out. Wonder if he actually got an NFA stamp, Joel, for this gun.
I bet he has one in his pocket. He has ink and an NFA stamp in his pocket. It's a rubber
one.
So
on behalf of the 38,000 men and women of the FBI, I want to present to you your very own Tommy gun.
They're laughing because it's laughing. Actually comical.
Yeah, it is.
It's a Tommy gun.
It just made me angry. Like, what you would have to go through as a citizen to own that gun right there?
Short-barreled rifle.
It was free for him. Confiscated.
You have to go...
This is legal. Where's the ATF director?
Oh, he's almost making a joke about it. Is this legal?
I wonder if it's full auto.
Or it's just like a replica that doesn't actually work. I mean, it could be, I guess.
I doubt it.
That's not the point. They're gun grabbers.
They are. And if we had... Okay, here's the thing. If I had a picture of me with this gun and I posted on Twitter... All these nut jobs are going to come after me because I hate kids and I don't want to, you know, like these are the people. These are the people. And this is what they do right in front of everybody, presenting a Tommy gun on his way out. So, yes, I'm with Congressman Eric Burleson. Let's abolish the ATF because they're ridiculous at this point.
Yeah.
And unnecessary and completely arbitrary with all the stupid rules that they come up with when it comes to the Second Amendment. So. I just thought that was crazy, of all the things to give as a gift. I mean, I would love to have it, but, yeah. You know, I've advocated that anybody should be able to own that. But anyway, next up, quite a few of the Senate confirmation hearings happened this week. Did you watch any of those?
A little bit. Tidbits.
Some of Trump's appointees so far. Here's Kristi Noem, who had some of the confirmation hearings this week, and she's being questioned and asked some questions by our own Missouri Senator Josh Hawley regarding the CBP1 app for illegal aliens.
Would pay for this kind of concierge service for illegals, I think, is outrageous. Will you end the use of the CBP1 app?
Yes, Senator, if confirmed, and I have the opportunity to be secretary on day one, CBP1 will be shut down. There's data and information in there that we will preserve so that we can ensure we know who's coming into this country and who's already here that we need to go find. But also we make sure that there's another program, CHNV, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, where our federal government actually paid to fly people into this country directly from other countries without any vetting or knowing who they are. So there's several of these programs that need to be eliminated, and we need to ensure that we're following legal immigration laws.
I'm glad you just mentioned CHNV. This is another this is a mass parole program. Of course, as you know, our law allows parole in only very limited circumstances. There are two circumstances, and it requires case-by-case evaluation. The present administration, soon to be gone, has granted mass parole in direct defiance of the law, not case-by-case evaluation. The CHNV program is one of those instances. Will you put a stop to this abuse of our parole law and our asylum system?
Yes, we will go back to case-by-case evaluation of these parole cases and ensure that we have more resources, if you will partner with us, to make sure that our legal immigration system is fully utilized, that we have more judges, more immigration courts, so that we can process people legally and make sure that they are going through that process rather than, like Joe Biden has done, use this as an excuse to allow people to come into our country with no consequence.
Good words from incoming Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. I think I also read this week that Tom Homan said that they're going to put a, like, if you are deported in this, you know, when the Trump administration starts deporting, especially those that are criminals, have a criminal record, whatever, if you're deported, then you would have a 10-year ban on getting any visa into this country at all, any kind, a work visa.
Which there was a five-year in place before this administration.
If they were deported. Yeah,
yes.
Which went away under Biden. So I think all of those are things that should be done when it comes to immigration and the situation that we are in right now. Let's take a break real quick, and we'll be right back. Back from the break, one of the other, did you watch any of the Pete Hegseth confirmation? That one I thought was the best.
I watched a little bit of all, like a highlight reel of all of them.
He just, I mean, just killed it, I think, across the board. And not only that, but really embarrassed the Democrats and some of their questioning, which were just absolutely ridiculous. But he did very well. I think Pam Bondi did well. Is probably my favorite one, though, was the it was the clip of Tim Kaine questioning Pete Hegseth. Did you see that one? Let me see if I can find that.
I think so. Pardon my ignorance, but when will they be confirmed? And
so
did
probably,
you feel like any of them won't be confirmed?
No,
based on the hearing,
not any of the ones that I haven't heard yet of anybody who they're saying doesn't have the votes at this point. I think Kash Patel is probably going to be the toughest one, but I think his confirmation hearing is going to go really well.
Yeah. When is the voting?
I think a lot of it's going to happen this coming week,
okay,
after the inauguration. I would say that the majority of them will. But here is the one with Tim Kaine and Pete Hegseth. This is so hilarious, man. They just... And the more I listen to Pete Hegseth, the more I think he is the perfect person for the job. But here was Tim Kaine's questioning.
One of your colleagues said that you got drunk at an event at a bar and chanted, "Kill all Muslims." Another colleague, not anonymous, we have this, said that you took co-workers to a strip club. You were drunk. You tried to dance with strippers. You had to be held off the stage. And one of your employees in that event filed a sexual harassment charge as a result of it. Now, I know you deny these things, but isn't that the kind of behavior that, if true, would be disqualifying for somebody to be Secretary of Defense?
Senator, anonymous false charges.
They're not anonymous. And I'll just conclude and say this to the chairman. You claim that this was all anonymous. We have seen records with names attached to all of these, including the name of your own mother, So don't make this into some anonymous press thing. We have seen multiple names of colleagues consistently throughout your career that have talked about your abusive actions,
Chairman,
attitudes,
words, and statements. I think he's over his time. He's way over his time.
Tim Kaine looks like he may have been doing those very things that he was accusing him of the night before.
Isn't it uncanny how he reminds me so much of Tim Walz?
Yeah.
Tim Kaine, which was the last person that the Democrats put up, right? As, hey, this guy can appeal to men.
Right? I thought that Pete Hegseth reminds me a little bit of who was the senator that Trump nominated to a cabinet position and then ended up leaving the Senate?
Gates.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz.
He looks like Matt Gaetz's older brother.
Yeah. But again, he's right. He's like, these are anonymous sources. This has no merit to it, you know. But I thought he did great.
Hollywood ambassador.
Yeah. So
like it's a different country.
Right.
Might as well be.
So, yes. So this week, Trump appointed several Hollywood A-listers to be his, I quote, ambassadors to Hollywood. Here's his Truth Social a post on this. So he said, it's my honor to announce John Voight, Mel Gibson, and Sylvester Stallone to be special ambassadors to a great but very troubled place, Hollywood, California. They will serve as special envoys to me for the purpose of bringing Hollywood, which has lost much business over the last 4 years to foreign countries, back bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. These three very talented people will be my eyes and ears, and I will get done what they suggest. It will again be like the United States of America itself, the golden age of Hollywood.
I know Clint Eastwood is on, he's got a foot in the grave and one on a banana pill, but I can't help but think that you could have given him a 357 Magnum with blanks.
Right.
And added him to that list.
Well, yeah. they asked him. Did you not hear that?
I did not.
Yeah, they asked him. They went and asked him if he wanted to be on it, and he said, get off my lawn.
I guarantee it.
I thought you were going to say, do you feel lucky?
We'll do you.
We'll do you, punks.
Punks.
So, yeah, I mean, punks. If that's not, we're back. I don't know what is, right? You've got Rocky and the Patriot running point for Trump in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have asked for any better, really.
John Voight was the dad of National Treasure.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
One of my
favorites. He's Angelina Jolie's dad.
Yeah. Crazy.
I know.
Oh, and Tomb Raider's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the apple fell away from the tree.
For sure with her. But I thought that was great. Trump.
Mel Gibson, older he gets, the crazier his eyes get, I'll tell you that. I like him, but enjoy listening.
Yeah.
He's got to be right up there with Alex Jones.
Mel Gibson?
Yeah. Just on people that scare.
I think he's got a lot of inside knowledge, though, on Hollywood that's legitimate. And people try to write him off as crazy.
No, I'm not. Well, I think same thing with Alex Jones. He's done some
things. He's doing The Passion of Christ, too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he was talking about why he hadn't done it before now.
Hmm.
And, it's the resurrection.
Well, I know what comes next.
He said, they already have the Left Behind movies, so.
Right.
But, no, he said that he was not in a place where he was, more or less, when he did The Passion of the Christ, he had went on a major fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he just hadn't been in a place spiritually where he was, felt like he could commit to another project. So
good reasons.
I thought that was a very good reason.
And it's still going to be Jim Caviezel.
Yeah. You love Jim Caviezel as
that's right.
Jesus.
I mean, the first one changed his life.
Yeah.
Big time. Crazy. He talks about it. But you know he got struck by lightning, right?
Yeah. While on the cross, yes. I believe.
That was crazy stuff.
What?
Yeah. You didn't know this?
No.
Jim Caviezel got struck by lightning shooting The Passion of Christ.
It was kind of a turning point in his life, if you could imagine.
He cussed from the cross. used the Lord's name in vain and got struck by lightning. That's how I heard it told anyway. It didn't show it in the final movie, but in shooting some of those scenes, that happened. That actually happened.
He walked a little tighter line after that in his own words.
I'm going to have to Google this. There's no such thing as coincidence or irony.
Here comes. Joel's finding out.
We should have done that
while you're doing
week.
That, Joel, we're going to jump into a deeper rabbit hole than that.
You better.
How do you spell Caviezel?
You're going to need to.
I don't even have to type it out. It's the first thing that comes up.
You're going to need to put some DMSO on your joints before this is over.
Yep. Crazy stuff.
It was the Sermon on the Mount scene.
Okay. Ooh. It wasn't the cross?
Different story. Sorry.
Caused him to undergo 2 heart surgeries.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Man, he got beat up.
Yeah.
He also suffered other injuries, dislocated shoulder while carrying the cross, cuts from the chains he was shackled to, a 14-inch scar from being accidentally whipped twice, pneumonia and hypothermia from hanging mostly naked on a cross for several hours.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, you got to listen to him talk about it. So maybe we got that mixed up. Maybe he wasn't on the cross. Maybe he was preaching the Sermon of the Mount.
The hypothermia and pneumonia.
All right. So next up, Tim, have you ever been down the glitter black hole?
I have not.
I don't recommend it.
Did you know there was a glitter black hole?
I did not.
I didn't either. And I'm telling you.
Did you, Joel?
It's fascinating to the point where you can't look away. And the question, why does the military buy all of the glitter?
I have theories.
Okay. So listen to this. This is crazy stuff.
Yo, the glitter conspiracy is a rabbit hole you are not ready for. So I didn't know this, but there's legit only like 2 main manufacturers of glitter in the world, both of which are based in New Jersey, of all places. And yes, I'm talking like regular glitter, the same stuff you use in arts and crafts. One of these companies is like super secret and private that apparently invented glitter themselves and is very hush-hush about everything. And the other is GlitterX. No one really thought much of it until it came out that we actually have a worldwide shortage of glitter back in 2018. Kind of a weird thing to be short of. So a journalist from the New York Times went in to interview the team at GlitterX to find out. She casually asked if she could tour the factory, and surprisingly, GlitterX told her absolutely not. Like, there was no debate about it. She was strictly not allowed to see how glitter was made, and wasn't even allowed to be in a nearby room to even hear how it's made. So instead, she was just left to interview a manager at the company, and things just kept getting sketchier. She asked the manager if she could tell her what industry serves as her biggest market, and the GlitterX rep instantly, without hesitation, tells her, "No, I absolutely cannot tell you." Confused, the journalist asks her if she knows who their biggest customer is, and she replies with, "Oh God, yes, and you would never guess it. Let's just leave it at that." Asking why she can't talk about it, she responds by saying because they don't want anyone to know that it is glitter, and that if you looked at it, you wouldn't even know that it's glitter. The journalist then asks if you'd even be able to see the glitter at all in the finished product, to which the manager replies, "Oh, you'd be able to see something, but it's, yeah, I can't." And this interview single-handedly sparked the great glitter rabbit hole of the internet. Apparently, these clients that purchase glitter are all under a very strict confidentiality clause with GlitterX. They really do not want people to know that their products are made from the sparkly stuff. The industry these products are part of is clearly massive, yet no one knows what it is. So what even is glitter? By definition, it is aluminum metallized polyethylene terephthalate, essentially plastic that has been aluminized and shredded into tiny specks that sparkle. And it's used in a lot of things, from credit cards, passports, currency, football helmets, cosmetics, jet skis, granite countertops, even toothpaste, allegedly. But none of these are quite big enough to be this top industry buyer of glitter. One of the leading theories is that this biggest glitter industry is for boat paint, which many manufacturers do admit they use it in their boats. And they don't want people to know about it because of how much microplastics in the glitter these boats are really dumping into the ocean, which is a hot topic these days and is why they'd want to keep it such a secret. Others claim that it's being dumped into beaches to make make the sand sparkle or that it's just Crest toothpaste and we're rubbing the microplastics directly into our gums, as well as for use in military applications, which would obviously be highly classified, and this is where the theory takes an unexpected turn. Remember that super secret company that basically founded Glitter, the other New Jersey company that isn't GlitterX? Yeah. Turns out they're actually not as big of a secret as they'd like to be, called Meadowbrook Inventions, which was founded by Henry F. Rushman, a German-American machinist who invented modern glitter in the 1930s, and also happened to be part of the Manhattan Project, the highly classified operation that created the atom bomb. So the guy who invented glitter also helped create the world's first nuclear weapon. Who would have known? Meadowbrook's machines that make glitter are also commonly used for government contracts for products like rocket fuel, airplane brake shoes, and anti-radar chaff, which are chopped up fibers they shoot out of military planes that can block radar, redirect heat-seeking missiles, and can even be used to simulate poor weather conditions on radar. Good thing the government would never do that. Henry W. Rushman, the son of the original creator, was interviewed and even admitted to what they were really using glitter for all these years, specifically mentioning money, passports, toothpaste, and all those military applications like that anti-radar chaff, and even mentioned it was used in special batteries they produced for a military contractor called Picatinny Arsenal. Batteries that he claimed produced more electricity than any other battery we've ever known, and was pretty quiet about it after that. If there's anything we've learned about the government, it's that they love spending money, and their budget is essentially endless, especially if it's for the military. And given all these military uses of glitter, as well as its founder's roots in the Manhattan Projects and connection to atomic bombs, this one might be our answer. What other industry could be so secret that the New York Times article described it as CIA levels of obfuscation? How about the CIA itself? Perhaps once again, the government is behind it all, using the same sparkly powder found in children's art projects for military applications, fighter jets, rocket fuel, money, and passports. Possibly even some new high-tech super battery they don't want the rest of us to know about. What a plot twist that would be if glitter, of all things, ends up being the government's top secret weapon to control the masses.
Tim, in your best Alex Jones voice.
It's a deep state ploy. They're taking the minds of our children.
Wild stuff. I will say that those military batteries are definitely very secretive. I have toured some facilities that have a lot of contracts for military batteries. I tell you what's scary, though, about it more than anything is that a lot of the materials used for those batteries comes from China.
China.
So batteries that are going in our fighter jets, helicopters, bombs, all of those things, most of them come from China.
Yeah.
Which is very concerning to me.
All the good cells are manufactured in China.
I've always hated glitter, and now I hate it more.
Yeah.
But somebody's making some serious money off of it. So
I'm going to start stock holding.
Yeah, forget Trump coin.
Well, forget gold. Have a safe full of glitter.
Yeah, look up those companies and see what they're publicly traded as. Mm. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
They may not be publicly traded.
If they are, you know that Congress is going to have some stock
shortage.
See what Nancy Pelosi holds in the glitter company. And just go from there, Tim. Next up, New York City's having trouble with people skipping the subway fares. You know, getting around the turnstiles, jumping over the turnstiles, whatever. So they came up with a plan to... This sounds just like government right here. They came up with a plan to install spikes at the substation entrance at those turnstiles. So surely now the problem will be solved, right? An ingenious plan to turn the subway style hopper people away. But turns out the first day that they install these, they're already finding a way. Look at this. Didn't even phase him. See the spikes up here?
Yeah, it looks like they're the width of fingers.
Yeah. So you just, yeah, you just put your hand up there where it's safe and hop over. So, yeah. Who knows, too, how much they spent.
They could have made those, they could have made those walls 3 feet taller.
Right. Oh, my goodness. It just cracks me up, though.
Wow.
Whatever.
Innovation
it takes.
At its best there.
Yeah. So that didn't work. And then we have a video here. Remember we talked about the wokeness in the what's going on with the LA fires and the firefighters, the city leadership and all, you know, being focused on DEI rather than actually doing their job. We talked about all that recently. But the Not the Bee put together a video to help people decide which one of these is not, or maybe which one of these is the woke firefighter. See if you can tell.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire.
No, it's your husband's in a fire.
He got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
I showed my wife this.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's...
Okay, so that's an actual video that the Los Angeles Police Department or Fire Department put out regarding how important it is that the firefighter who shows up looks like you, okay? So basically saying that, you know, if whatever skin color you are, that it's going to put you at ease if someone shows up who looks like you when you're in your house and it's burning, which has never entered my mind, actually. Joel, I think if my house is on fire, I just want someone to show up who is competent at being able to rescue me, right?
That seems like it would matter more.
Yeah. So, but here's the Not the Bees video, too. To see if you can tell which one is the woke firefighter.
The reality is that you're not one of the boys who have legs. You'll never be one of the boys who have legs. But you can be a good firefighter. People see you and they're like, wow, look at you, you know? They're so excited. Like, he's a firefighter and he's got no legs. Because there's not a lot of us for some reason.
He looked like...
Probably racist. If you're also a member of the legless community, you want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's medical call or fire call, somebody that looks like you and also doesn't have legs that work. It gives that person a little bit of more ease knowing that this person might understand their situation a little better. People love that I'm a wheelchair firefighter going around the community kicking butt. I mean, not literally because of the legs that don't work. It's a metaphor. Every time you see a firefighter in a movie or show, they have legs and they're walking. The media plays such a big role in everybody's lives now that it's so powerful for people to see a positive, uplifting portrayal of a firefighter that's just rolling around. If you start thinking about the leg challenge, you think of desk jobs, you think of any job that you have to sit for a long time. You think about somebody who might be a headmaster for a school for gifted youngsters. But you wouldn't think of a firefighter when it's something that is actually a reality for many of the unlegged community. You can't be it if you can't see it. And so that's why it's so important for young members of the leg-free community to see us riding around on fire trucks.
Did you see his name?
No.
It was Larson.
Is he strong enough
to
do this? Or you couldn't carry me out of a fire? Or does he have enough legs for this? Which my response is, you got yourself in the wrong place if you need me to wheel you out of a fire. It's basically your fault. I was the first paraplegic person to be promoted to the rank of battalion chief. With each promotion, more eyes come on you, more scrutiny. They want to know, does he know what he's doing? Does he keep his crew safe? Can he get into a house that has more than a moderately sloped ramp? Some people walk in with the respect already, but as a person born with leg deficiency, you have to know your stuff. You're not given the opportunity not to know it. not given you have to know it. When it comes to the walking impaired and being a firefighter, you're capable of doing it. It's not a bipedal normative person's world. It's not a bipedal normative person's field. I'm here. I'm a man.
Bipedal normative.
And I'm doing it.
I love the terms they came up with. Bipedal normative.
The worst part is I did not see the Babylon Bee for the first few seconds when the guy was sitting out there just with his arms crossed in his wheelchair watching the house burn down. And I looked up and I was like, what?
I know it's ridiculous.
It got me for a second.
But it is. That's how ridiculous it is. Right. And that's the point they're making. Like,
it's unreal.
Oh.
No, when I showed my wife that video and she said, if your husband needs to be carried out of a fire, he sounds like he got himself in the wrong place.
Right.
It's like, isn't that pretty much every emergency you show up to?
And these are the people who scream about tolerance and, you know, being discriminated against. Oh, but anyway, I thought that was too good to pass up. A member of the legless community. Bipedal normative. Oh, man. It's too good.
Oh, man.
All right. So next up, the Biden administration sent trained shooters to go shoot owls. Believe it or not, it really happened. So breaking 9/11 story. So here it is. The Biden administration sent trained shooters to kill 450,000 owls in Oregon. I just want to know why I was passed over for this job. And they're saying that they will spend, when it's all said and done, $3,000 each. $3,000 each per owl. To kill the owls.
The Biden administration first approved sending trained shooters into West Coast forests to kill up to 450,000 barred owls, just to save the endangered spotted owl.
We do know that they are currently doing this in some forests, more on a test case basis.
State Representative Ed Deal is one of several Oregon lawmakers urging the incoming Trump administration to cancel that plan.
So
in a letter to Elon Musk
endangered.
And Vivek Ramaswamy, leaders of the new Department of Government Efficiency, they argue the plan will waste taxpayer money without solving the problem. The 30-year plan could cost taxpayers a staggering $1.35 billion,
30-year
with
plan.
Each owl's death priced at $3,000, according to the Center for Humane Economy and Animal Wellness Action. The plan has sparked fierce controversy in Washington state, too, with critics arguing that killing so many owls is an extreme and inhumane solution to a complex problem.
I got a brother-in-law that'll take care of all those owls.
Or Frey.
And the kangaroos.
Nothing more
Australia.
Than a case of Bush Light.
I wonder who's getting the owl meat, though.
He'd probably eat it.
Chick-fil-A?
No, I'd say McDonald's already has their
they got a corner
dibs.
On that, too.
Dibs. What was it going around that McDonald's gets a lot of their meat from Australia? Is it kangaroos that they were...
We talked about.
What was the animal that...
Kangaroos.
Kangaroos, yeah.
Yeah, the government pays people...
McDonald's definitely
to kill
has
the kangaroos,
the
and McDonald's is like, hey, what are you going to do with those kangaroos?
Who nuggets?
So, you know, a 30-year plan for $1.35 billion to kill the owls to save the other owl.
We should get in on that government contract if Doge don't get rid of it. I'd cut him a deal.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'd do it for way less than 3,000 each. I mean, half of that at least. Probably be more efficient too.
Think about no questions. Think about the coyote bounty in a lot of states is like $60-$65.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you go. Yeah, let them go.
That's been a pretty
that would solve the issue.
That's worked, hasn't it? Like having
with the coyotes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It probably depends on the state.
Man, if you got coyote bounty up to $3,500. It'd be everybody. Every,
that's a good question.
I wonder, redneck in town would become dog.
Does Missouri
hunter.
Have a bounty on coyotes? Because I didn't know.
I know California.
There's a season.
There's a season,
but there's a bounty.
I've killed a ton of coyotes, I never turned them in for cash.
There's a bounty in California. I don't know if Missouri does. Mm.
Yeah. Another great example of government efficiency. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else?
If you just opened an owl season, it would take care of it.
You know, we always have had a little fun with Peter Ducey's questioning of KJP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which had her last day as well on Friday. Thank goodness. So this exchange, though, is pretty funny between Peter Ducey and KGP for their last interchange of questions during her term here.
Hi.
Thank you, Corrine. If I don't see you again.
In
the briefing. Thank you for always. You could have stopped taking the hard questions years ago, and you didn't. So we appreciate that.
Over 2 years, my friend, this is a, let's say, one last dance, right? I don't know how I'm going to fill my dance card now. How will I fill that void without you?
Ooh, you tell me. You tell me.
Start some rumors in here, I guess.
He's getting red, too.
So, a week from now, it's all over.
Yes.
Between next Monday and 2028.
2028?
Who's the leader of the Democratic Party?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That is for people much smarter than I to make that assessment, that decision. Obviously, voters will decide. That is not something for me to decide. I could say right now, in this moment, in this room, as I'm looking at the clock, as it's counting down, because we have to leave shortly, you have the president, President Joe Biden, who is obviously the president and the leader of the Democratic Party. I do not have I cannot predict the future, so that is not something that I'm going to do from here.
Who do you think it is?
I think they got to pull out Michelle.
You think so? I think Michelle may be done.
Mm.
Especially in 4 years. She's not looking too great these days. Have you seen? There's also rumors that Obama is having an affair with Jennifer Aniston.
Oh.
I hadn't seen that.
And that the reason why Michelle is not around is for that reason. I have no idea if that's true, but
maybe Jennifer
people are saying
Aniston will be running for president.
I think she'd have a better chance than
probably.
Than
there's no telling
Michelle. I mean, it's a really good question, actually. Like it's not Kamala, right?
That'd be quite a
it's
gift.
Definitely though. Not Tim Walz. I really think I still think if you ask me right now. I think it's Gavin Newsom, but he's getting absolutely excoriated right now in L.A. with all these fires.
Well, once they build the smart city on the ashes, you know.
When BlackRock buys up all the properties.
They're going around door to door doing it.
But, I mean, it really is probably the worst place that Democrats have been in my lifetime. Like, the bench is almost non-existent. It's the same way in the state of Missouri. Like, they're losing elections left and right. They don't have a bench. There's no one they could put up to run for governor that would be viable. You know, so it is a good question, but I guess we'll see how that plays out. Last of all, the exchange between Nancy Mace and Jasmine Crockett. In Congress. Did you guys see this one? Oh, man, this is good stuff.
Somebody's campaign coffers really are struggling right now. So she gonna keep saying trans, trans, trans so that people will feel threatened. And child, listen, I want y'all
I
to
am
tell
no
me
child.
Whether or
Do not,
not
call me a child. I am no child.
I want
Don't
to
even
find
start.
Out
I'm a grown
which
woman.
Of those emails
I have
actually
broken
have.
Glass ceilings.
Chairman,
you
I am reclaiming
Let's
my
go.
Time.
Go.
You will not do that.
Order.
I am not
Chairman,
a child. I
am reclaiming my time.
If you want to take it outside.
Mr. Chairman, the committee is not
okay.
in order.
All right. Order.
Point of order. Point of order.
Order, order, order.
Some.
Take Take me outside.
She said, you want to take this outside? She called her chow. Listen, chow.
She don't want to mess with a mace.
No. I'm afraid that she does not want to mess with Nancy Mace. My money, the Polymarket odds, is definitely in favor of Nancy Mace in that situation.
I don't know. There was some...
We had one similar to that on the floor a few years ago, but it was between two Democrats. And
really?
Yes. It was great. I was hoping that we would just let it play out, you know, but the speaker gaveled and we had to break it up.
Point of order.
Unfortunately, it got point of ordered. But I really wanted to see...
just watch them devour themselves.
Who would have been victorious in that? I think the final story is this one. The rats in Houston in the police storage facility. Joel, when you guys store your stuff, specifically drugs that you might find to be contraband out there in the world of crime that you're in, when you store those, is it something that the rats and the mice can get into easily?
In other news, Cocaine Rat is going to be quite an epic
cocaine
film.
Cocaine Bear?
No, Cocaine Rat is the sequel.
It's the sequel.
Crack Rat.
Yeah.
I suppose it could happen. I might need to tell them I need to get some rat traps out there.
Yeah, so listen to this. Like, this is crazy.
Call the Orkin Man.
Not the bee story. We've been so invested in solving the ongoing drug crisis in our country that we never stopped to consider that it was affecting rats at the same time. Drug-addicted rats are eating narcotics and seized and stored by the Houston police, prompting a change in how long the department is required to store the evidence, officials said. Houston Mayor John Whitmire, Harris County District Attorney Sean Teer, and Houston Police Chief Jano Diaz on Friday announced new steps to dispose of drugs and other evidence kept at police headquarters downtown, some of which has been sitting there for decades, attracting rodents, even though cases they are linked to have been long adjudicated. It said they had 400,000 pounds of marijuana in storage.
Yeah, I was going to say, it turned out it was just a bunch of Chuck E. Cheese mascots.
Right. So, yeah, the rats are getting into the stuff.
Spoiler alert, that's how The Walking Dead started.
Right.
The rats got into the stash and bit Shane and Rick.
Mm. Oh, no.
Next thing you know, you've got a walking zombie plague.
Yeah. It said apparently rats on coke are significantly more unpleasant than sober rats. It says... This is difficult getting these rodents out of there. I mean, think about it. They're drug-addicted rats. They're tough to deal with.
Junky rats.
I can't even imagine. Like, of all the things that law enforcement have
that
to worry about.
That would definitely be quite a Disney film spinoff of Ratatouille, too.
Yes, it would.
We got a lot of angles we could go with this.
For sure. I mean, I think it would be entertaining, for sure.
I might be doing some... screenwriting tonight.
Yep.
Crack rats.
So yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. Can't wait to see all the inauguration take place and the Trump administration actually have the reins of this mess and see what we can get fixed. It's going to be a good day. Anything to add?
Man, I think we covered a lot of ground.
All right. So don't forget, you can find us on Apple, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. If you go over there, leave us a 5-star review. Just take a couple of seconds, and it means a lot to us in helping promote the show. You can also find us on Spotify, Amazon, about anywhere that you get your podcasts, and share it with your friends. The news and entertainment is happening here at the Man Cave Caucus Podcast. So with that,
God bless.
We'll catch you next week. Crack rats.
Crack-a-tooie. Mixing up the old, what's it, fake bake?
Baking soda?
No, when they... out a new recipe. Krakatui.
Oh, I should know that. I watched that recently.
Came up with a new recipe.
Hopefully, we get the first midweek minute this week. Didn't make it happen
heard
this
that
week.
Before.
I know.
You got any unsuspecting
guests? I've had a few people ask. Yeah, having to vet the list. So
you should see if you could get a the sketchiest lobbyist
in Jeff City. Okay. See what I can do.
You can edit the sketchiest part out. We don't want to...
We don't want to tip our hand?
Yeah. A lobbyist that's been looking to get his foot in the door and
right.
realizes that it's probably not happening, and then he's like, oh.